Just gave me a super cool new game to play. These are emoji cards. You have to spy the matches. I spy with my little eye. A happy face. Can you guys make a happy face with me? Wow, I love those smiles. Now, I need to find another happy face. Let's see. I spy with my little eye. Yes! Another happy face! Yay! We found a match! Let's try to find another match. Which one should I pick now? This one? Or this one? I spy with my little eye an angry face. Can you guys make an angry face with me? Oh, yes. You look very angry. Let's try to find another angry face. I spy with my little eye a heart-eyed face. This is my favorite because it means love. But it doesn't match with the angry-eyed face. Let's try again.
Hoo! Hoo!
Hey, it's Ollie!
Hello, Poppy. Hoo! Hoo! What are you up to?
Hey, Ollie! We're playing our new emoji card game. It has all the feelings. My favorite one is love.
A game of feelings is fun for you. I know someone who went from angry to happy. It's true. So let's hear this story. Just follow me through. Hoo! Hoo!
Follow me through.
With my little eye. Our friends! Stormy Jane, it's our friends! They're here for a story. Hi, friends! I'm Carrie the dog walker, and this is my best dog, Stormy Jane. Are you ready to play a little Bible story I spy? Well, great! All month long, we have been talking about our good friend Jesus. Do you see our good friend Jesus? Get out your pretend binoculars and look with me. Ready? I spy with my little eye our good friend, Jesus. Jesus is God's son, and he came to teach us how to love others and to be our friend forever. Jesus is alive, and we can believe in him. But not everyone believes Jesus is alive. One of those people was a man named Paul. Hey, let's find Paul. You ready? I spy with my little eye, Paul. Paul grew up believing that you had to follow a lot of rules if you loved God. I mean, a lot of rules. Paul heard people saying that Jesus was teaching a brand new rule. Not a lot of rules, just one rule. And Jesus' one rule was, love each other the way I love you. Because Jesus is God's son, they followed him and did what he said. Well, this made Paul very angry. Paul wanted people to follow all of the other rules. He did not want people following Jesus. Do you know what Paul did? He started being mean to people who followed Jesus. Let's see if we can find Paul with his mean face. Look with me. I spy with my little eye Paul with a mean face. Then one day, when Paul was on his way to be mean to more people for following Jesus, he saw a bright light and heard someone talking to him. Who do you think was talking to Paul? It was Jesus. And Jesus asked Paul why he was doing mean things. Then he told him to go to a house and wait. After Paul saw the bright light, he couldn't see anything, but he did what Jesus told him to do. Someone had to help him find the house. Do you see a house? Look with me. I spy with my little eye a house. Some of Jesus' friends came to the house to help Paul. They helped Paul because Jesus had taught them the new rule. Love each other the way Jesus loves you. After a few days, Paul could see again. Do you think Paul believed in Jesus now? He sure did. Angry Paul, who was mean to people, became happy Paul, who loved people and believed in Jesus. Everyone can believe in Jesus. And when we believe in Jesus, we love people the way Jesus loves us. Oh, hey, Ollie. Ollie, tell me, who can believe in Jesus?
I can believe in Jesus. Yes, it's true. Now let's hear it from you. Tell me, who can believe in Jesus?
I can believe in Jesus. That's the truth, friends. You better believe it. See you next time. Bye.
So there's your story. And it's all true. When Paul believed in Jesus, it made his heart brand new.
Thanks, Ollie.
Goodbye to you. Ooh, ooh.
Paul believed in Jesus, so Paul started loving people the way Jesus loves people. Paul went from angry Paul to happy Paul. I think I got the story. Did you get it? If you did, say, got it. Get it?
Got it!
Good! When I believe in Jesus, I can be happy too. And I can love people the way Jesus loves me. I'm going to show my friends how much I love them by sharing my game with them. See you next time. Bye!
These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, John 20:31. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, John 20:31. everybody. Erica here. I'm super excited for today because all week I've been working on something really cool. And I haven't told anyone about it yet, so it's basically top secret. Top secret! I really want to tell you guys about it, so I'm just going to have faith that you won't spoil the secret. Faith is trusting in what you can't see because of what you can see. You see, ever since I first heard the story of Saul, also known as Paul, because Paul and Saul are the same person, they're Saul, and how he couldn't see for 3 whole days after he met Jesus in a bright light on the road to Damascus, I've been thinking about what I would do if I couldn't see. It's pretty hard to fathom what that would be like. So, I realized that if I couldn't focus with my eyes, I would want to focus with my other senses. So, I invented, are you ready for this? Supersonic hearing helpers! Ooh. Are they cool? They magnify sounds like crazy. So that's why I'm whispering. Because even just a whisper basically sounds like I'm shouting at the top of my lungs. Yesterday, when I put them on for the first time, actually kind of hurt my ears because I was hearing everything, and I mean everything, like the squirrels across the street and the neighbors 3 houses down. We're out of cereal. We are out of cereal. We need more cereal. Down. But neither of those compared to the Fiesta themed birthday party that was happening on the other side of town. I have been craving cake ever since. I couldn't keep listening to myself shout like that. Anyway, no worries. I simply grabbed a few advanced technological essentials. Ta-da! I soundproof the lab! So, we are good to go! And speaking of go, we gotta get going on the story today. Time to hear what happened to Saul after he lost his sight. See you guys back in a jiffy. Oh, it's really dark. Can we have a nightlight or something?
The Bible. It's 66 books of history, stories, letters, and poetry that fit together to form God's one big story. The epic adventure of how he created us and loves us so much that he made a way to rescue us. As we travel through the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, we discover people who met God and found their lives changed forever. Now for an amazing story. Inspired by the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 10 through 31.
Ananias, a believer in the city of Damascus, paced the floor of his room.
What will we do, Lord?
Several days before, the Jesus followers in Damascus had received terrible news.
Saul of Tarsus is on his way. He has permission from the high priest to arrest anyone who follows the way of Jesus and take them to Jerusalem.
Ananias shivered as he stared at his door.
Why haven't we heard anything yet?
He knew that at any moment, guards could knock on his door. A voice could shout out his name.
Ananias.
Ananias had nearly jumped out of his skin. And then he quickly realized that the voice hadn't come from outside. It hadn't come from inside either. There was only one person it could be.
Yes? Lord?
Yep. Ananias knew that this was a vision from God. So he took a deep breath and waited for what the Lord had to say.
Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street. Ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul.
Ananias gasped in shock. God wanted him to seek out his enemy?
Saul is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man come and place his hands on him so he could see again. That man's name is Ananias.
A million thoughts tumbled through Ananias' head. At last, he found his voice.
I've heard many reports about this man. They say he has done great harm to your people in Jerusalem. Now he has come here to arrest all those who worship you.
It must have seemed like a home run argument to Ananias, but God responded.
Go. I have chosen this man to work for me. He will announce my name to the Gentiles and to their kings. He will also announce my name to the people of Israel.
Okay, here goes.
So Ananias grabbed his cloak and hurried through the dusty city. But as he finally reached Straight Street, his steps slowed. He forced himself to breathe evenly as he approached the home of Judas.
Help me, Jesus. Give me the words to say.
Ananias stood in front of the door for a long moment, gathering courage. Then he knocked.
What do you want?
Ananias shared his vision. As Judas led Ananias through the house, Judas explained,
Saul won't eat or drink anything, not since they led him here 3 days ago.
Ananias peered into the back room. A man was kneeling there, his hands knotted in prayer. And even though the man's eyes were open, they didn't focus on anything.
Who's there?
Before he could lose his nerve, Ananias went straight to Saul and put his hands on Saul's shoulders.
Brother Saul, you saw the Lord Jesus. He appeared to you on the road as you were coming here. He has sent me so that you will be able to see again. You will be filled with the Holy Spirit.
As Saul blinked in surprise, something like scales dropped from his eyes.
My eyes! I can see!
Saul leapt to his feet and faced Ananias.
I need to be baptized, this instant!
Now Saul, also known as Paul, had always been relentless in his quest to wipe out the believers. But now that he himself had met Jesus, he was equally determined to share the good news. Within days, he started preaching at Jewish synagogues.
Jesus is the Son of God. Isn't Saul the man who caused great trouble in Jerusalem for those who worship Jesus? Hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners?
Though Saul now believed in Jesus, he still had much to learn, and he wanted to discover all the answers himself with God's help. So he spent several years studying the scriptures, and after that time, he came back teaching and preaching about Jesus as fiery as ever.
Jesus is the Messiah. He fulfills every promise in Scripture.
The Jews in Damascus and even the governor of the city were angry at all the upset Saul was causing.
Time for him to sleep with the fishes, shall we say?
They made plans to capture and kill Saul, but Saul and his friends discovered the plot.
It appears they've even guarded the gates.
That leaves the windows.
Saul's friends led him to a home built into the city wall. When it was dark, they brought out a large basket.
You've got to be kidding me.
You really want to try the gates?
Saul stepped into the container, and his friends lowered him out the window and down the wall on a rope.
Never thought I'd end up as a basket case.
Once safely out of Damascus, Saul set out for Jerusalem.
Home, sweet home.
When he arrived in Jerusalem, Saul immediately tried to join the group of believers there, but they were afraid of him at first. One man, Barnabas, had already heard Saul's story.
Cheer up, man. I know you're the real deal. Let me take you to the apostles.
So Barnabas did exactly as he promised. He took Saul to Peter and James and the other leaders of the early church and told them the whole story. So Saul stayed with the believers in Jerusalem and preached there just as boldly as he'd done in Damascus. And once again, a group of Jews became upset with him.
Someone send that man to sleep with the fishes.
But once again, the believers helped Saul escape. This time he went back to his hometown of Tarsus to wait for God's next directions. In the meantime, the group of believers in Judea and Samaria continued to grow through the power of God's Spirit.
Sorry. You're still not in... Maybe this wasn't the best long-term solution. Luckily, I was awake for today's story. It was out of sight. Oh, here we go again. Saul couldn't see for 3 days. I bet he was so scared. And Ananias, too. God wanted Ananias to help a man that wanted to throw Ananias in prison. But Ananias faced his fears, and Saul... Could see again!
Except now, he can also see the truth. Jesus was the Son of God, Israel's long-awaited Messiah, the Savior of the world. When Saul became a believer and got filled with the Holy Spirit, he was completely changed. The Holy Spirit gave him courage, and he began teaching everyone the truth about Jesus. Even when people wanted to arrest Saul for talking about Jesus, he still bravely told everyone he could about the Son of God. And lots of people began following Jesus because of Saul. It's like they were wearing supersonic hearing helpers and could hear everything Jesus was telling them through Saul! Wow!
Oh, too loud.
Okay, so when you put your faith in Jesus and decide to follow him, he promises to always be with you. He gives you the Holy Spirit to help you in all sorts of different ways. And even though you can't see God, he can help you feel confident enough to try something new, or brave enough to tell the truth, or strong enough to be kind to someone who maybe hasn't been so kind to you. He can help you face your fears. That's the one thing to remember today. Knowing Jesus can help you face your fears. I think I need to face a fear myself. The fear of too much sound. These pillows just aren't working for me. Do I dare? Seriously? There's a rod of cereal again. Have you ever heard of buying in bulk?
Joey, what kind of shoes does a ninja wear?
What kind of shoes?
Sneakers!
Alex, knock knock.
Who's there?
Joe.
Joe who?
Joe Mama!
Hey guys, I got a joke for you today. Did you hear about the guy that cut off his left side? He's all right now.
Got one for you. You wanna hear it?
Yeah.
Why did the golfer wear two pairs of pants?
I don't know. I don't know.
Casey got a hole in one.
So a cop pulls a guy over and says, "Hey, you're speeding. Didn't you see the speed limit sign?" The fella says, "Yes, I saw the sign, but I didn't see you."
So did you hear that Mount Rushmore has always been beautiful? They say it used to be its beauty was unprecedented.
Presley, why don't eggs tell jokes to each other? Because they would crack up. Oh, yeah.
I asked my wife what kind of shoes I should wear today. She said, "Don, honey, you need to wear something that suits your personality and your behavior." So I put on loafers. Thank you. I'm here all week.
Why did the student eat his homework?
I don't know.
Because the teacher told him it was a piece of cake.
Happy Father's Day. On this special day, as we enter into this time of worship, I want to invite you to come before God, our Father, in order to express to Him our gratitude for all of the fathers that He has placed in our lives. I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer, and I invite you to join in with me on the underlined parts on the screen. Let's pray together. Loving God, we lift this day our gratitude for the loving men who have brought us the precious heart of your fatherly love. Take just a moment to allow God to bring those men to mind. We give thanks to you this day for those who have shown us kindness, for those who have shown us courage, for those who have shown us generosity, for those who have shown us truth, for those who have shown us compassion, for those who have shown us faith, for those who have shown us love. Blessed be the name of all sons and brothers and fathers who reveal a glimpse of your loving presence on earth. Amen. Welcome to worship. I'm Pastor Laura, and I am so grateful that each and every one of you are here. My prayer for all of us today is that God's grace would overwhelm us. His grace that He is pouring out always and everywhere in abundance. And I pray that that grace would flow into the places where we need it very most in our lives today. If this is your first time to worship with us, if you have any prayer requests or if there's some spiritual step that you would like to take this morning, you can do that at any time using the online communication form. You can access that on our online worship platform using the button that is there. You can also do this through the Broadway app. If you don't yet have the app, you can get that quickly and easily by texting BUMC app to 77977. Later in our service, we are going to share in a special time of communion with one another. And so if you haven't already had the chance, let me encourage you to find some bread and something to drink and to have that nearby. But now, let me encourage us all to light a candle in our homes together as a reminder that Jesus Christ, the light of the world in whom there is no darkness at all, is present and working right here in our midst. Would you join me in the call to worship that will be on the screen before we light our candles together? O Lord, let my soul rise up to meet you. As the day rises to meet the sun, glory to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let's worship together.
Sung by flaming tongues above. fixed upon it, mounts of thy redeeming love. Till you came and rescued me, I was bound by all my sin. When your love came and set me free, now my soul can sing a new song. Now my heart has found a home, and your grace is always with me. And now
you to hear today's scripture reading coming from Miss Anna Jo Rush.
Today's scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 20 verses 1 through 16, and it says this: "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. At about 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go to work in the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again at about noon and about 3 in the afternoon, and he did the same thing. At about 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found others still standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call all the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first.' The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they were expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. Those who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work in the heat of the day. But he answered one of them, am I not being unfair to you, friend? Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do so, to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
God started it.
Grace is always sufficient. No matter what happens today, yesterday, or tomorrow, whether it's my fault or somebody else's fault or nobody's, there will always, always, always be enough grace for it all.
Hey, good morning, friends, and welcome again to worship. Here we are. I'm still here, and you are still there, and we are still collectively navigating this weird season of life. And in this weird season of life, I can't help but wonder, what would my friend Wayne have to say? And I gotta believe he would probably crack a joke, probably a bad joke, and then he would maybe say something like this. Even at this moment, God is active. There is enough grace for this moment. Because there's always enough grace. Even at this moment, no matter how far the distance, no matter how deep the hole, no matter how far gone, there is always enough grace. And grace not just as forgiveness or the unmerited favor of God, but grace as the power of God, grace as the presence of God, and grace as the possibilities of God. Grace as this triple helix DNA that makes up who we are and who we strive to be as God's people and what God ultimately makes possible. A quick story about possibilities. Last year, my wife and I bought tickets to go see my favorite basketball team, the Utah Jazz, when they were playing the Memphis Grizzlies in Memphis. And we decided, full confession, to go all out. All four of us in our family, we geared up. We made posters. We all had a thing that we were going to wear in Memphis that declared our allegiance and our love for the Utah Jazz. And before we went, I was telling Wayne and Wendell about what I expected would happen or what I hoped was possible. And so I told them, you know, listen, we're going to get there early. We're going to be the first ones in the arena. We're going to walk down to, you know, as close to the floor as we possibly can to watch them warm up. And we're going to be so geared up and we're going to have our posters that there's going to be no way that they won't see us. They will absolutely 100% see us. And maybe after they see us, they'll talk to us. And, you know, there was a player who, after warm-ups, would sign his shoes and give them away, and he gave them away to kids. And I was like, who has cooler kids than me? We'll certainly get his shoes. And while they're giving us his shoes, you know, we'll talk to him, and they'll realize, like, oh, man, this is a cool family. This is a cool guy. And they'll probably invite us to hang out with them after the game. You know, I don't know. Saying this to Wayne and Wendell, maybe I'm getting my hopes up too much. And there was this awkward silence. And then Wayne broke it and leaned in and said, why not hope extravagantly? Why not hope extravagantly? These were the words of my friend Wayne, because he recognized that abundant grace gave birth to extravagant hope. That abundant grace made possible extravagant hope. That God is not this stingy banker meting out pennies. He's not peeling off individual bills in a mean, greedy way, like he's trying to hang on to them. God is not the game at Chuck E. Cheese that you work really, really hard on and you only get one ticket. Instead, God invites us into that machine that blows tickets everywhere and you're just trying to catch them as fast as you can. Like, that's what abundant grace looks like. That's what extravagant hope looks like. It's everywhere, all the time, all around us, if only we are able to see it. God is not the God that pours just a tiny, tiny bit of sugar into the Kool-Aid. God pours all of the sugar into the Kool-Aid, and it's so sweet that it makes your cheeks hurt. There is always abundant grace. So why not hope extravagantly? Now, let's be real. Let's be honest. That's an easy thing to say on a Sunday morning. That's an easy thing to say when we are in this place together or apart, and we are sort of isolated from the rest of the world. If anything, these past months have revealed how difficult it sometimes is to hope, how difficult it is to recognize the abundant grace that God pours out. But that's why reading these pages is so important, because in these pages, we see the God of abundant hope. We see the God of extravagant grace. We see the God of exciting possibilities. And these are the pages that Wayne knew, and these are the pages that we know, because over and over and over again in Scripture, we see a God who is pouring out extravagant grace in the midst of difficult circumstances. Now, sometimes it's a question of perspective, right? Like, we focus on the difficult perspective rather than the extravagant hope. We focus on the struggles rather than the grace. We struggle on the problem in the moment instead of the possibilities in the moment. But over and over again in these pages, God is a God of power, of presence, and of possibilities, of abundant grace and extravagant hope. That's revealed over and over again, but maybe most clearly through two particular parables that Jesus shares. So this is the way that Jesus often taught. He would say something like, the kingdom of God is like, and then he would lay out this long story that would throw open the doors and reveal who God was. Now, these stories are often like located in that particular time and place. So for us who are a little bit further removed, it becomes sometimes a little bit difficult to dive in and to see what Jesus is exactly trying to say. And yet, one of the consistent themes in these parables, as Jesus tells them, is a God of abundant grace that cultivates extravagant hope. One such parable is this one. This one is Matthew 20. And if you have your Bibles, there's probably, in big, bold letters, the parable of the workers in the vineyard. And far be it for me to say that this is a little bit misleading, but the original text of Scripture did not have these giant, bold titles. Like, those were things that the editors put in to kind of make it, to organize it better. I would be so bold to say that the parable is not necessarily about the workers in the vineyard as much as it is the landowner. Because as Jesus opens the story, he says this in chapter 20, verse 1, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard." Verse 2, Scripture continues, "He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. Now, Scripture doesn't tell us how big the vineyard is, but it does tell us that he continues to hire workers throughout the day. So verse 3, about the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." Now, he does not agree upon a specific wage for this second set of workers. And that will become important as Jesus tells the parable. So they went. He goes out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour. So in two separate segments and does the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?" Verse 7, they answer, "Because no one has hired us." And so he brings them to work in his vineyard as well. Verse 8, when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers, pay them their wages. The day is over. It's time to settle up with the workers. Beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." Verse 9, the workers who were hired about the 11th hour, so the last set of workers who did the least amount of work, they come and they receive a denarius, essentially a day's wage. Even though, to be clear, they did not work the whole day, they receive a denarius. So when those came who were hired, now picture this, like the morning workers are watching the later workers each receive their pay. And as they see the later workers get the wage that they agreed upon, they assumed that they would be paid more. They assumed, because the later workers got a particular wage, that because they had worked a little bit longer, that they would receive a bigger sum. And if we focus on the economy of this, it's easy to sympathize with the morning workers. But Jesus doesn't say the kingdom of God is like the workers who were hired in the morning. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus doesn't say even the kingdom of God is like the workers who were hired later. He says the kingdom of God is like this landowner. And here's what the landowner does. Watch this. Here's what the landowner does. Verse 10. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. Now, why would they grumble? Again, if we focus on the economy of this, there might be some question of fairness. We understand the lack of fairness. But I think the true focus is on the generosity of the landowner. Remember, Jesus says the kingdom of God is like this landowner who doesn't scrimp, who is not skinflint with the wages. Instead, he is extravagant. He is generous. He pays them abundantly. This is who God is. In every moment, God's grace, God's power, God's presence, God's possibilities, his presence. And in every moment, there is always abundant grace. Abundant grace cultivates, creates extravagant hope. If this parable wasn't enough, Jesus goes on to tell another story, a famous story. I'm sure you've heard of this. In Luke 15, the third in a series of stories illustrating who God is. And this story is the story of two brothers and a father. One brother says to the father, "I want my inheritance now, and I'm leaving." And he does. And Scripture tells us in Luke 15 that he squanders his wealth, that he ends up eating with pigs, and he has a moment where he comes to his senses and realizes what he has done. He realizes what he has given up. And in that moment, he's at least a tiny bit hopeful that his dad will take him back, maybe not as a son, but certainly as a hired hand. And so he goes back. And the story continues. that as he's walking back, and maybe in his mind he's rehearsing the speech that he's going to give to his dad in order to convince his dad to accept him again, in order to convince his dad to love him again. And what the son discovers is that the father is not one to pinch pennies with grace. He's not one to mete out one ticket at a time when it comes to his love. Instead, the father sees him from a far off distance, forgets everything else that he's doing. He runs to the son and he embraces him. Abundant love, abundant grace, extravagant hope. The story doesn't end there. The story continues because the older brother, the one who stayed, hears the party that the dad has thrown, this abundant party that the dad has thrown for this returning son. And the older brother comes to the dad and he's upset. He's angry. And if we're honest, if we focus on an economy of scarcity, then we understand the older brother. If we focus on penny pinching, then we understand the brother, because the older brother says, why are you doing this? And then the father gently corrects him. The older brother thinks that grace itself is like a pie, and more for you means less for me. And so we have to fight for who gets more. And in the back of his mind, maybe he's doing ongoing calculation about how much he has versus how much the father has versus how much the son had, the other brother had. And the father corrects him and says, my son, you've always been with me, and everything I have is yours. If the older brother was putting barriers on grace, if he was calculating in his mind net assets, the father says, it's all yours. It's all yours. And that's what God says to us. At every moment, it's all yours. At every moment, grace is sufficient. At every moment, the power of God, the presence of God, and the possibilities of God are abundant. Even in this one. Even when we don't know what to do. Even when we are confused or worried. Even when it seems like the gap is too wide, or we're too far gone, or we're too lost, or we're too confused, or we simply don't know what to do. In this moment, in every moment, grace is sufficient. Grace is abundant. There is enough grace. And because there's enough grace, we can have extravagant hope. Abundant grace, extravagant hope. Those are the things that we bring to this table, the table that we are about to share together. Extravagant grace, abundant hope. Those are the things that the table we are about to share allows us to have. As Jesus sits with his disciples and says to them, I am doing a new thing. This will be my body broken for you. This will be my blood shed for you. And because of that extravagant grace, you can have abundant hope.
As we come to the table today, would you join me in the liturgy on the screen? The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all of the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then when the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Would you pray with me? Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. And on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. This is the blood of Christ, shed for you. May you receive now these gifts of God's abundant grace.
people come together, strangers, neighbors, our blood is one. Children of generations, of every nations, our kingdom come. So don't let your heart be troubled. Hold your head up, I don't fear no evil. Fix your eyes on this one true. God is madly in love with you. So take courage, hold on, be strong. Remember where help comes from. Thanks for being with us today, Broadway. It's great to worship with you. I want to invite you to stick around, and as Pastor Laura shares with us some parting words and some things that are happening in our life together.
Thank you for being here today. As we prepare to go, I would like to share with you a few next steps that you can take in the week ahead. First, you can be a part of empowering Broadway's mission of invite, grow, and serve through your gifts. You can give today through the online worship platform using the button that is available there, through the Broadway app, by visiting our website, broadwayunited.org, or by mailing your check to the church. Also, if you are looking for an opportunity to connect with others in our congregation in person, throughout the month of July, we will be coordinating outdoor regroup gatherings based on our local school districts. This will be a chance to see some familiar faces and hopefully make some new friends. Of course, we will be seeking to do this in an environment where we will strive to keep this as safe as possible, following the guidelines for social gatherings provided by the state of Kentucky. So, if you would like to grab a lawn chair, pack up a meal, and spend some time with people within our church, you can learn more and you can sign up today at broadwayunited.org/gatherings. In addition, we know that some of our small groups and Sunday school classes have already been gathering together in groups less than 10. And so we want to take just a moment to celebrate our groups who have been doing that. We're so grateful for the ways that you love and care for one another. As of June the 29th, the state guidelines will expand the size of groups that can gather from 10 to 50, which means all of our small groups and Sunday school classes will be able to gather in person following those guidelines if they desire. If you choose to do that, at this time, the church would like to encourage you to please meet outside and to follow the guidelines for social distancing, wearing masks, and not sharing food or drinks at this time. Be on the lookout in this week ahead for more information on how you can safely gather. Also, please know, if you are not yet feeling comfortable with the idea of gathering with others in person, we as a church understand that, and we are committed to continuing to offer group opportunities for you online. This past week here at Broadway, we had our VBS here online, and it was an amazing time. There was singing, there was dancing, there was crazy hats and amazing crafts. But most of all, there were 150 kids who learned how they could focus on God and His amazing plan for their lives. Pretty awesome, right? So thank you so much to our Kids Zone team, to all the volunteers, and to our amazing parents who made this possible. Finally, as we go today, we want to commission our junior high students as they engage in a new experience called Samaritan Summer. Typically, we would be sending our students off to some distant place in another state to be on a mission trip. But this year, our students are going to have the chance to see how God is at work right here in our own community. They'll be getting to learn about different nonprofits and ministries right here in our backyard, and they'll be discovering ways that they can support and serve through those ministries and those nonprofits, not just right now, but beyond in the year to come. We want to pray for them as they prepare to serve in this tremendous way. And so would you join me in prayer this morning? Lord God, we pray for these students. We thank you for their great love for you and their love for others. And we pray, God, that their eyes would be open to see where you are at work. God, we pray that their ears would be open to hear how you are calling them to join you in what you are up to right here in our town. And God, we pray that their hearts would be open, that they might be transformed. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. As we go today, our Kids Zone worship team is going to be sending us out. And so please watch as they lead us, and then have a great week. We'll see you next time.
This is my faith, this is my focus, all of my days, I know where my hope is. I'll live it loud, I'll shout the chorus, because I know you're always for us. And even when it's hard for me to see, I will trust in you, I will believe, believe. And even when it's hard for me to see, I will trust in you, I will believe. And keep on looking, looking, looking to you, for where I'm going, knowing.
donkey to you. I'll fix my eyes on you. You are my only focus. You are my only focus. You are my only focus. I'll fix my eyes on you. This is my faith. This is my focus. All of my days, I know where my hope is. I'll live it loud, I'll shout the chorus, because I know you're always for us. And even when it's hard for me to see, I will trust in you, I will believe, Even when it's hard for me to see, I will trust in you, I will believe. And keep on looking, on you.